Stand by for a start. Racing. It's $210,000 at Isella. Done. Well done.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Shortlist, the official podcast of the Federation of Bloodstock Agents Australia. This podcast is brought to you by our fantastic sponsors, IRT and Stable Financial. Joining me for today's discussion are a very successful agent-client combination, Lenny Russo from Bluegrass Bloodstock and Dave Azzopardi from Dream Thoroughbreds. Gentlemen, welcome to The Shortlist.
Thanks, Mick. Good to be here.
Been a busy start to the year, Dave. Yearling sales season, it's all but over. How's the buying been from your point of view?
Well, I think we've had a really successful season on the buying front. I think we've probably reduced the number that we've purchased, but I think we've improved the quality. So we've gone for more quality rather than quantity this year because the market seems to want a bit more quality in their offerings rather than just getting a quantity of horses that you can syndicate out.
Lenny, is that what you've found as well across the board with your other clients, that's kind of been the attitude?
Yeah, I think the sales have reflected that, where that sort of bottom middle market, it's hasn't really been competitive for the vendors. Like, there just hasn't been the money there. And I think that's sort of reflective with trainers and syndicators selling. So I think that higher end is still strong. I think the consumer just wants the better bred, better type of horse.
Before we get into the relationship between Bluegrass and Dream, Dave, Dream Thoroughbreds is well and truly established now as a syndication brand in Australia, but take us back before we go forward. Where did it all begin for you?
Yeah, so we kicked off. Well, we were owners with horses previous to starting up Dream. Mainly buying horses through the Anthony and Lee Friedman when they were together back at Markdale. And we had a lot of success, with owners like John O'Neill, who's still a very successful owner in the marketplace now. And John really introduced us to the Friedmans, and we've been really thankful for that. And we've established a really good relationship since then. Still very good friends with John. Obviously, he does it a little bit different these days, which is fine. We both support each other, really, and he's actually been a good support to us, just helping us build the brand in more ways than one. So we started off in August 2010. We bought, one horse. We bought our first horse was a horse called Comic Ruler. We bought it from the New Zealand Ready to Runs because obviously we wanted a horse that could get up and going pretty quickly rather than just buying a yearling and waiting the year or two. So we needed something up and going. He won our first race for us at Ballarat in our silks because we had new silks that we designed. We had a marketing specialist come up with a bit of a brand for us. We came up with the name Dream. Thought through a few names, and then my partner Shannon said, "You always say you're living the dream, so why don't you just call it Dream Thoroughbreds?" And I said, "Perfect, absolute magnificent name." So, and then we bought into a horse called Charles in Charge with Anthony Friedman. We bought about 75% of him, and he won his first two races for us. One first up at Sandown, and in the second race, he won the Magic Millions Adelaide Magic Millions race at Morfordville. And that was a great ride and started us off. And we did those two on our own, but we thought in those early stages, well, I sort of came to the conclusion that I wasn't an expert in the animal as such as the conformation type aspects of the horse, and that we needed a specialist to come in as basically a partner in our business. I knew Josh Rodder really well from Caulfield at the MRC, and Josh introduced me to Lenny Russo. And since then, Lenny's actually a good friend of my brother's as well, who everyone will know as the assaulter from Malta. That's his alias, who sometimes gets a gig on your radio show in the morning, Mick, with his tips. He's tips out of Bathurst or something like that, either he finds them in. But Lenny sort of fit our sort of mold, and I can honestly say since then we started back, I think it was about 2012, I think, Lenny, was the first yearling sale we did together. We've become, yeah, good friends since then. We've established a working relationship and a friendship. And I think you need that as well when you're working with an agent. You need to have some sort of synergy with them so that you're both on the same path and you know what you're sort of chasing and where you're trying to head together. So we've built our brand together in a way. We had a bit of a podcast in the early days called Off the Bit that we On the Bit.
We were off the bit most of the time.
Yeah, we did that in the early days using YouTube, and that sort of built a bit of a following. And but since then, we've started to really ramp up our numbers, and we're now buying about we're sort of aiming around that 10 to 12 a year. We may ramp it up more, but it's more about buying the quality, as I mentioned before. So it's not all about the numbers for us. It's about getting horses that can make it a city grade and effectively stakes grade horses.
Lenny, going back to that initial introduction, and Dave's obviously setting up Dream and you're getting to understand where he's going with the business or what he's trying to achieve. What's harder as an agent, buying the horses to fit that type of market or sort of getting your head around the business strategy and the longer term view for that syndication company?
I think it's a bit of both, Jack. It's... I think, you know, being honest, you know, if anything you do, you get better as time sort of goes along. I've sort of learnt Dave's business, what he's trying to achieve and what he's trying to do as we've gone along. So I think we've improved in the selection. So I would say the last probably 5 or 6 years when doing a shortlist for the sales, I've got a pretty fair understanding of what Dave can work with and what he can't. So there's obviously the yearlings that I'll shortlist, and then Dave will have his own shortlist as well. So we'll incorporate them. And then I try and look at most of the catalogue anyway. And then sometimes yearlings that weren't in my shortlist for Drill, I'll say to Dave, we'll look at them together and they might be a really lovely type of horse. So we might try and make a case for, could it suit a different market, an interstate market, a different trainer? So if it's the right type of horse. But, yeah, obviously the understanding of their business and what they require, I think it's gotten better over the years as we've got more experience with doing it. So, you're really enjoying what we're doing the last couple of years because loving the yearlings that we're getting and I think the results are sort of showing on the track.
With the trainers and when you look through the Dream trainership list, obviously the Friedman connection is still very strong with Anthony and Sam there and also Richard and Will in New South Wales. And then you've got Amy and Ash Yagi as well. And of course, Ash was involved with the Friedman stable for a very long time. Throw in Kieran Maher, Tony Golan, the Jollies. There's a good spread of trainers there now nationally, Dave. How much input do the trainers have in the selection of horses? Or is it very much you and Lenny get together, come up with your shortlist, buy the horse, and then place the horse with the trainer that you think it will suit?
Yeah, we do pretty much do it independently from the trainers, Lenny and I. As Lenny mentioned, we have our shortlists. I have my shortlist, but we still go to the sales pretty open-minded about what we're going to buy. We have definitely got a strong relationship with Anthony and Sam Friedman, and probably our best results have been with that stable. So we continue to support them. Obviously, Kieran is going from strength to strength, so we've jumped on board there. We're now also doing stuff with Lindsay Park Racing with the Hayes brothers, and they've been really successful for us. So our plan is to sort of place our horses with the leading trainers in sort of each state. But we do generally buy them, shortlist them, and then we sort of place them where we think they're best suited. There are circumstances where the trainer may like a horse that we like as well. We've done it often with Anthony and Sam, and we've gone 50-50 in a split because they've liked the horse. They've got a few owners that want to get into it, and so we've taken 50% and raced in our colours and put it to our pace as well. So there are opportunities like that. But we think we do enough research in our selection that the horses that we place are generally well accepted by our trainers. They're very rarely, I think going back one step, the work that Lenny does is really critical to what I need happen. And it's effectively looking at a horse, the composition of a horse, things like offset legs and angles to the shoulder that a lot of people hear, that most people don't even know what that means. But the confirmation wise, when we buy a horse, trainers are really happy with those horses that we buy because they are pretty much, they're not, no horse is perfect, but, we don't get many horses breaking down in training because they are conformed right. So that's a big plus for us. We're pretty proud of the fact that we can, whatever horse we buy from a yearling sale after all of our checks, and obviously the vet checks are really important as well. Lenny and I obviously do a lot of work, but then we place it over to a vet that I really put a lot of trust in. That's Michael Hurley out of New Zealand, who's ex-Hong Kong. And he gives us a good guide as to whether that horse will potentially make it to Hong Kong if we want to on-sell it. And if there's any issues, we do physical inspections, x-ray of the legs, and also scoping as well before the sale. So that also plays a part, but most of our horses we'll get to the racetrack that we buy, so we're pretty happy with that. With that record, we have had one or two that got injured in training, which is a little bit hard to prevent beforehand, but it wasn't because of there was a confirmation issue from it. It's just an accident in training, which you can't avoid with horses. Everyone knows that they don't talk to you and they want to do whatever they want and kick fences and things like that, which is pretty unfortunate at times, but you've got to deal with that.
When it comes to the transport of your valuable thoroughbreds, look no further than IRT, the world leader in horse transport. IRT has serviced the international market for almost 50 years with offices in Australia, New Zealand, Germany, the UK and the USA. Their experienced staff are with you and your horse at every step of the journey. IRT are proud to support the FBAA in enhancing and promoting the Australian thoroughbred market. IRT, your horse, our passion.
Adam Timms here. Stable Financial has been helping thoroughbred businesses since before GST started, and we enjoy some incredible long-standing client relationships. We're very happy to support FBAA and its reputable network of advisors. As the bloodstock agents facilitate trading opportunities, the stable makes sure that horse owners, breeders, trainers and syndicators are getting Group 1 business and tax advice. Please visit our website and get in touch with our awesome team at the stable. See how we can add value to your horse business and let you focus on finding winners rather than worrying about it.
Lenny, with a syndication company, you sort of, I guess we've been, the normalised thought about people that buy into syndicated horses is that they're smaller owners, maybe new to the sport, this is a way in for them. That probably lends itself to an expectation that the horse will get to the track relatively soon. And then, of course, it's all so easy. He just goes and wins races. When you're buying horses for Dream, do you find yourself drawn more towards horses that might be up a little earlier and that might give the clients that sugar hit of an early trip to the races? Or do you still have to have that durability and that long-term view in your mind? Because, hey, let's face it, the longer the fun goes, the better for everybody.
I think it's really sometimes it's a directive from Dave where we might say, oh, we've got some clients that really want to race a sort of early maturing horse. Or I've got some clients that want to race a sort of a derby sort of prospect or something like that. So obviously then, your focus is on something different, right? Because if it's an early maturing horse, your focus is on a family that sort of has a lot of two-year-old performers in it and it has the muscle and the strength and precocity that you think it's going to get there early. But if I don't have a mindset that I think when I go to the sale, I've got to find a sort of an early maturing horse, because that's what the dream owners want. Because it's more, we get the horse, and certain owners will buy into that horse if they want, if they see that, you know, that we bought a Russian Camelot like this year. Like, I think there'll be a certain type of owner that, if they're wanting a precocious horse, they're probably not going to get into that horse. But if they're wanting a sort of a Guinea style Derby horse, well, they're going to buy into it. And I think that's the beauty of racing, and with the syndicators, is that they'll purchase a range of horses for the year. So a dream gives great options, and state to state, great trainers, and they've got their pick. Like, they can just look on the website and say, oh, we'll take a share in that horse because it's with Tony Golan, or there's a filly there with Amy and Ash that we want to get into. And so I think that's it's a variety that the syndicator can give, as opposed to a trainer that if you're buying with them, you just can race with them. Whereas a syndicator, you can race with whoever.
Comes back to knowing your clients, Dave, a bit, doesn't it? You know what people are telling you that they're after, having those relationships rather than just being a retail store. I think the art to successful syndication, it's deeper than that. It's the connection you have with the people that race with you, and understanding this group. You know, they've just had one come off the track. They had a success with this breed earlier. Maybe we see if they're interested in getting another one. Is it? I imagine that sort of background work for you is nearly as important as Lenny with the confirmation and the actual selection of the athlete.
Oh, absolutely. I think Dream has built their brand on transparency as well. And obviously you need success on the racetrack. I mean, we tend to buy sprinter miler types as a type that we get from these sales. To get an early running two-year-old, it's not easy. The market suggests that the bigger players in the market are snapping up the ones that look very precocious, and we'll get to golden slippers and blue diamonds and things like that. So it is hard competing in that market, especially on cost and value, and that's what we're looking for. But with Lenny's help, again, comes back to Lenny, a couple of examples. A horse we bought last year, a horse called Zesty Man, a Zoo Star colt. He wasn't on my shortlist, and Lenny came to the sales and had a look at him, because Lenny will look at virtually every single yearling at a sale, and I'll look at only my shortlist, which is, you know, sort of a quarter of the sale. And Lenny picked out that horse and said, he looks like an early runner. He's a Zoo Star colt. We love Zoo Star. So we purchased him at really great value under what his stallion service fee was. And yeah, he made the blue diamond this year. You know, like, Lenny was absolutely right in that selection, that he was a two-year-old type. But, you know, to get a Zoo Star colt under 120,000, that's great shopping. And that was at Inglis Easter yearling sale, where the average was 390,000 last year. So that's where the agent is so valuable to us. Because, as I said, he wasn't on my shortlist, but Lenny found him. He knew it was within our budget. He knew there wouldn't be as many people on him as other Zoo Star colts, because his pedigree lacked a little bit of, it wasn't as strong through his dam line, but he was just a great athlete. And that's where the agent helps, because he will look at a horse and say, that's the athlete. He will become a racehorse, you know, and he was right. Another example of that was a horse called I Am Immortal that we're now standing at stud at Swettenham. We bought him. It was an I'm Invincible colt, big, strong colt. A lot of people probably didn't think he'd race as an early two-year-old, because he was a very, we call him the beast, actually, because he was so big and strong. And he clicked into gear in December. He trialed up, and he trialed up really strongly. And all of a sudden, he'd won two, he won the Blue Diamond Preview, and then he won the Blue Diamond Prelude before he went into the Blue Diamond. So some horses can sneak up on you. You know, you don't always see them coming as early two-year-olds. But we're transparent when people buy into these horses, and we'll tell them what we think they will achieve. And Lenny mentioned the Russian Camelot that we bought at Inglis Premier this year. And that was a horse that was probably not the typical horse that we've bought, but he was an athlete. He's by Russian Camelot, a first season sire, out of a Savabil mare that was stakes placed. And we think he's a Guineas Derby type. So people that buy into that horse, we're not trying to sell him as a two-year-old. We're very clear to say to people, this horse will be, we think, a very talented three-year-old. You might have to wait a year, but you'll have a very nice horse in the making once he makes it to the racetrack.
You mentioned there that the point around competing with, I guess, big stables for those early, and the big owners for those early two-year-old types. What about the syndication game in general and how it's changed in the last 14 years that you've been involved? What are some of the challenges at the moment that you've found perhaps this season or last season that we weren't experiencing, say, during COVID when people had a lot of spare money and time and racing was on? And I think we saw a large influx of new owners into the sport.
Yeah, well, I think syndication since we've started syndication's been around for, I don't know, you'd probably know better than me, Mick. It's probably, what, 30 years or maybe more. I mean, Shelley Hancock's has been doing it for a long time. Rob Slade has been doing it for a long time, you know, and they're still around today. There's a lot more competition with syndicators now. I believe competition breeds success. You strive to be better. And it's a lot more, it's accepted in the marketplace now that if someone buys a horse, a syndicator buys a horse, that people will buy in with syndicators. It is accepted a lot more. And as I say, there's been a lot of syndicators now that have had success, had Group 1 winners, and that just makes you strive to buy better quality horses. And that's what we've done this year, is we've looked at our model a little bit and said, okay, the market is tougher to sell in. COVID, as you mentioned, everyone was sitting at home, having a beer, watching the races, because that's all they could really do. And you know, we found there was a lot of punters clubs out there that were, you know, winning a bit of money. Actually, they seemed to be successful, and building up a bit of a cash pot to spend, and they wanted to actually go and buy a horse and buy into a racehorse and become an owner. We saw a lot of that money that wasn't being spent on overseas holidays and going out for dinner and anything else being invested into the racing industry with owning of horses. So when COVID first started, I thought the industry was doomed. But actually, in a way, it thrived for that period of 2 years. Coming out of COVID, I think the thing that's probably hit most people the hardest is that interest rates then started to go up. And a lot of people were obviously locked into, you know, mortgages, and that rise in interest rates took away that excess cash that people had to spend on a share in a racehorse. So we had a lot of inquiries, but there was a lot of people that found that the upfronts were a little bit too much for them. They could handle the monthly sort of ongoings, but the upfronts was just what they didn't have. So we've mixed up a little bit of our syndication as well. We've done a few lease type arrangements as well for our client base, especially with our well-bred fillies, and they've been really popular. Obviously, there's no upfronts on those, and it's just the monthly fees, and we still retain the ownership of the filly, and hopefully they'll get the stakes class and we can sell it as a broodmare later. So we're mixing up. You've got to adapt is basically what I'm saying to the marketplace. It is tougher. Everyone's finding it tougher. I'm even speaking to trainers. I'm in contact with a lot of people. Obviously, we've got a huge trainers across Australia, but I speak to a lot of other trainers as well that aren't even ours, and just to get a bit of a feel for what they're going through. And everyone's finding it a little bit tougher to sell the horses. Luckily, prize money is strong. You know, there's so many million-dollar races out there now that if you do get a good horse, and it's not easy to find a good horse, but if you can find a good horse, there is a big return if you can get a successful horse going onto the racetrack and winning a lot of these high prize money races. And we're even seeing now with the English Day coming up in 2 weeks' time, some horses will even avoid going to a stakes race to just go to those high prize money races in a couple of weeks at Caulfield, because potentially there's a big payday for them, and they can look at stakes racing later.
Adam Timms here. Stable Financial has been helping thoroughbred businesses since before GST started, and we enjoy some incredible long-standing client relationships. We're very happy to support FBAA and its reputable network of advisors. As the bloodstock agents facilitate trading opportunities, the stable makes sure that horse owners, breeders, trainers and syndicators are getting Group 1 business and tax advice. Please visit our website and get in touch with our awesome team at the stable. See how we can add value to your horse business and let you focus on finding winners rather than worrying about it.
When it comes to the transport of your valuable thoroughbreds, look no further than IRT, the world leader in horse transport. IRT has serviced the international market for almost 50 years with offices in Australia, New Zealand, Germany, the UK and the USA. Their experienced staff are with you and your horse at every step of the journey. IRT are proud to support the FBAA in enhancing and promoting the Australian thoroughbred market. IRT, your horse, our passion.
Now, finding a good horse is what it's all about. And I know your recruiting's finished for the year, and no doubt, it may not be. You may look overseas, who knows? But you'll have the next group of dream stars, the dream chasers coming through. I want one. Just one, just a name to follow, Dave and Lenny. One of the dream recruits. Is there a horse that's stuck in your mind that's showing ability either from 2023 purchases, 2024 purchases that are breaking in particularly well, or maybe it's an older horse that you think can go through the grades? I'll ask each of you to give us a name to follow from the dream team. Lenny, have you got
I'm going to give you two. And I don't think these will be Lenny's two. The first one, and they're both running this Saturday, actually. So the first one is a horse called Encoder. And he is trained by Lee Friedman on the Gold Coast, a very good friend of mine, Lee. As I said to you, we started our business with Anthony and Lee in partnership down at Markdale. Lee went to Singapore and he was very successful in Singapore, but obviously he got out before in good time before it all collapsed there. And he settled in the Gold Coast and we've supported him with a few horses. And we've got our horse Encoder. He's already won a Group 3 of the Grand Prix Stakes in the spring and he's being targeted towards the Queensland Derby. So he's going through the three-year-old series, which starts this Saturday. There's the listed Daybreak Lover into the Queensland Guineas, into the Rough Habit, into the Queensland Derby. He may not win this week. He's trialled up enormous. He'll be running on over 1,400, but he's a serious Derby chance. So that's the Queensland Derby on the 1st of June at Eagle Farm. He's by Encryption, a new sire that's standing in Queensland. And we bought him. We thought he's by Encryption, a son of Lonro, who was a sprinter. We thought he was a sprinter when we bought him, and he's turned into an outstanding stayer. So sometimes make a fool of you in a little way, but it's good. I don't care if he wins the Derby. It's just as good. It's still a Group 1. And the other horse I'll give you is a filly that's had one start for one win, a hell-bent filly called Irrefutably, a horse that Lenny sourced for us at the Inglis Classic sale. She's a two-year-old filly. She's in the Mornington, I think they call it the Mornington Sires. It's a two-year-old race at Mornington on Mornington Cup Day this week. She won at Geelong on a heavy track. She goes back to a good track. I think she's got a lot of ability. A filly that I think will get the stakes class, and she'll be right to the fore this Saturday. Mornington may not be her track as far as, you know, maybe it's a bit tight for her. She does like to get back and finish off strongly, but I'd be keeping an eye out on her. And once she gets to town and in stakes races, she might go to Adelaide for a stakes race as well later in the month or in May. So yeah, Irrefutably by Hellbent, and nice filly.
Lenny, have you got a horse for us to follow?
Yeah, I've got a racehorse and a yearling purchase from this year. One of Dreams that's running on Wednesday called About to Explode. Tony Golan trains. He was a huge run first up and same again second up. He was back and one fell in his lap. They went slow and he just had no luck. I think he's a horse going places He's a spirit of boom. He's in the right camp. Tony knows what a good one is. He's trained many of them. So, hopefully Doomben's not too tight for him again on Wednesday and he can go and win. David know better than me whether he does or he doesn't. But, him and one of our yearling purchases this year, which is a half to Big Parade, and Dunamite, that was a filly that Kira Ma trained that won a jump out by 10 at Sandown. They thought she had sort of group ability, but she didn't make it out of her first start, sadly. So we bought a Star Turn colt, who's the first horse I rate my I have a rating for pedigrees and type, and he's the first horse that I've had an opportunity to buy that's actually was a 4 out of 5 for myself, which is the highest rating. So I was pretty excited that Dream we were able to secure him, and he's just a gorgeous colt, and with a proper pedigree on his damn side, I think he can be a, you know, hopefully that Group One performer for the team. So yeah, he'd be the one to follow.
Boys,
I'll just add Mick too. I'll just add just on that on the agent side of things. Lenny rates all of his horses when he goes through and he does his book. He rates them out of 10. And often I'll ring him up one day if there's something that's passed in. I'll just say, how did you rate this? Because he measures their throat as well, which is a big advantage for us. So he can just refer back to his notes and tell me over the phone sometimes. And that's a big help for me, you know, because if I've missed something or someone's offered me a horse after the sale, I can go back to Lenny and say, what did you think of this horse? And he'll have notes on it from that sort of rating perspective. And that's a valuable asset. And we can go back in time as well sometimes. If a horse does really well and we didn't buy it, we'll go back and find out why we didn't buy it, and maybe not make that mistake next time if a horse of similar quality comes up. So, yeah, I can't underestimate the value that Lenny brings to our business.
It's been a very successful and a sounds like a very enjoyable relationship so far, the Bluegrass and Dream relationship. Long may it continue. And Lenny and Dave, thanks for joining me on the Shortlist today.
Thanks, Mick.
And thank you for listening to this episode of the Shortlist. And remember, if you'd like to talk bloodstock with an expert, there's only one place to go, and that place is bloodstockagents.com.au, where you can get in touch with an FBAA member.